This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Guess I'll take my mask off.
Alrighty. Bismillah, walhamdulillah, as-salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Welcome to our fourth in-person soul food. I'm going to keep track of this until we get to a ridiculous number and I'll sound really dumb when I say it. But alhamdulillah, we're really happy to be back here. Blessed to be in the gathering of everybody in person again. And back at it another week, alhamdulillah. So today's topic is one that really, you know, draws a lot of people because it is a very, very, it piques your curiosity a lot. And this topic, if you guys saw the flyer, it says finding love in all the wrong places. This is definitely an Ustada Fatima Lett topic, like that she, the name that she chose, because I like, that's a really creative thing. I don't have creative names, mashallah. It's actually a compliment. She thought I was kind of like insult her, but I actually didn't, so I threw her off.
I can't help it when I know, you're normally, right?
You see how weird of a face that she makes when I actually compliment something? But alhamdulillah, it's a really, really good topic. It brings about a lot of opportunity for reflection. The realm of love, right, in Islam is a very interesting thing. Well, first and foremost, the topic of love or the concept of love is actually a very beautiful thing, right? If you think about it, it's actually really, really beautiful. And this is why the word love or hub in Arabic is actually used in the Quran over and over and over again. There are some emotions that we believe in Islam that are actually given to us directly by Allah, okay? And love is actually one of them. The ability to have love or liking for a certain thing or certain things is actually a blessing, right? Imagine if like you could never ever feel that feeling in your life. How difficult a life would it be? And so, you know, Allah several times in the Quran, He uses this word hub, right? For example, Allah says, "Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin," which means, "Verily, I love the doers of good." And then He says, "Inna Allah yuhibbul mutawakkilin." Right? I indeed love the people who have tawakkul, who rely on me, wal mutatahirin, and the people who purify themselves. And then He also uses the word sabirin. I love the people who are patient, right? Muttaqin, the people who have taqwa. There are so many examples from the Quran of Allah loving certain types of people, right? And so we know innately that love can be a very beautiful thing. And this is kind of a huge lesson in faith in general, is that there are very, we believe in Islam that in general, most things are not innately good or innately evil, right? Like there's good and bad to everything in life, right? Anger, like, you know, a lot of times I think trying to explain to certain people concepts, we kind of make blanket statements about things like anger is bad. Right? How many of y'all heard that growing up, right? Anger is bad for you, right? There's a hadith where the Prophet said, like, la taghdab, don't be angry, don't be angry, don't be angry. But if you actually think about this in reality, if you didn't have the ability to ever get angry, it would actually almost be like counterproductive, right? Like you need to get angry at certain things. You need to be emotionally, you know, invested into certain things. Like if something bad happens in front of you and you're like, oh Allah, you know, Allah made me patient, right? Like, no, man, do something, right? Like, you're supposed to get emotionally worked up a little bit during certain things. You should be emotionally invested towards certain things. But anger sometimes, when not, you know, controlled, can be a very, very harmful thing, right? And I'm sure people have witnessed it in their lives. I'm sure, you know, whenever you have lost your temper or somebody around you has lost your temper, you saw the side effects of it kind of unfolding. And so there are goods and bads to everything. Now, the challenge that arrives when it comes to love is the definition of love itself. Like what's good love and what's love that's bad for you, all right? And that's why we felt that tonight's conversation is so, so imperative, because we as a community face like so many different opinions about what love is, right? And some of us are very, very, you know, now, I wouldn't say the word influence, because influence means like you're weak, and I don't believe people are weak, honestly. I believe people have a lot of strength in them. I feel like we are very, very easy to like be convinced of certain things when it comes to the topic of love, right? Oh, like this is what it looks like, right? That's why like whenever I hear somebody like say like goals, I'm like, please don't say that, right? Like, no one's ever really goals, unless you're on the Prophet ﷺ. Like, no one's really goals, right? Because everyone has flaws. Like, what you see is the exterior. You see the surface, and you see whatever's on Instagram. You see whatever's on, like, you know, Facebook or Snapchat, but you don't really see, like, behind the scenes. You don't really see, like, the good, bad, and the ugly. You don't see, like, the work that it took to kind of get to a certain level when you do call something goals, right? There's a lot of things that kind of play a role behind the scenes. And so, you know, the first thing I want to kind of, you know, set out for everybody, and then inshallah I'll let Ustada Fatima kind of share some of her reflections and some of her thoughts, is that love comes in, like, three different stages in Islam. Number one is that love comes from Allah, so you have to love Allah first, right? Like, you can't use an emotion that Allah gave you against him. That's, like, very, very backwards. It's almost, like, hypocritical if you think about it, right? Like, Allah gave me this ability to feel. Allah gave me this ability to sympathize, to have mercy, to have forgiveness for, to have, like, likingness towards. And using that against him is a very, very, you know, it's a very backwards thing. You know, we just don't do that as Muslims. Right. So the first step is to accept that this emotion comes from Allah. And so the first one who deserves that emotion in a good way is Allah himself. Right. And then after Allah comes the love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's actually a hadith, and this is an authentic hadith. And this hadith sometimes kind of makes people feel a little bit uncomfortable at times. And I think it's actually good that it does, because it makes you think a lot. There's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, he said that none of you truly believe until you love me more than you love yourself, right? You love yourself. And that is difficult, because you're like, man, you lived 1400 years ago, right? Like, how am I supposed to feel emotionally invested in you if I never met you in my life? But, you know, then you hear a little bit of how on the Day of Judgment, when it comes to Allah, or when it comes to the Prophet ﷺ, that out of everyone on the Day of Judgment, when they're going to be, like, scrambling around for their own deeds, there's only one person that's going to be praying for you that day. And that's him, right? Like, the day even your own, like, mom, your own dad, your own spouse, right? Your brother, your sister, they're going to be scrambling around to kind of, like, take deeds away from others and bring towards their own plate. There's only going to be one who's literally going to raise his hands and say, Allah, please, 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 please forgive them. And it's going to be like, what? Like, that makes no sense. You never met me. Why are you making so much dua for me? But that's the level of love that he has for us, right? And then the third stage of love is love for other people, love for creation of Allah. And that's where we are today. I want to share with you guys just a couple of points of healthy love versus unhealthy love. You know, and this topic is called finding love in the wrong places. So we actually want to almost, like, counter that concept and make it love in the right places. The first thing that our tradition tells us about love that's actually true and actually healthy is that false love, or love in the wrong place, is very selfish. False love or love in the wrong place is very selfish. It's very selfishly driven, you know? Like, when you see somebody and you're like, oh, okay, like what feeling does this fulfill for me, right? Like, what does this bring to my life, right? How does it kind of, you know, how does it kind of appeal to my senses, right? Like, how does it make me feel? That's, like, the first step. And by the way, this is a very, very, it's been quoted a lot throughout Islamic tradition of people who constantly just worry about their own, right? You look at prophets in the past, and a big reason why a lot of them were rejected by their people is because their people couldn't understand why these prophets were preaching about something that would actually bring about their own goodness. They'll actually, like, ask the prophets, like, okay, what's in it for you? Like, what's in it for you? You tell me, like, what money are you making out of this? Like, who's sponsoring you, bro? Right? Like, why are you telling me this? Because we live, and that was, like, thousands of years ago, and imagine how much more that is, you know, currently, like, relative or relevant. You know, like, what's in it for me? You know, why do I do this? This is why, like, the number one way of kind of almost, like, conditioning yourself to be in the realm of finding love that's good for you is finding an unselfish part of you, right? Like, when you look at somebody, and this is so true when it comes to, like, marriage, right? Or, like, you know, like romantic relationships, is that, like, the first thing you notice about a person is not, like, what it immediately, like, kind of, like, gives to you, right? It's not, that's not what it's supposed to be like. You're supposed to be impressed by the way that a person lives, right? You look at the way that Khadija found the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? He used to work for her, right? He used to work for her. And one of the things that she actually asked one of her other workers to do was to go on like a business like sales pitch with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And she asked her worker to be like, hey, just witness what he's like. Just go see what he does. I want to know what kind of a person he is. That's what I want to know. It wasn't like, oh my God, when he walked in the room, I felt like this, right? Or like, oh my God, like when he spoke, it was amazing, right? Like his eyes, right? No. It wasn't any of that, because that just appeals to your immediate senses. Like you're like, okay, that like, it just intrigues my interest. But when you want to take it to the next level, you're almost like, what is this person like as a human being? You know, one of the moments, and I hate like bringing up like PDA stuff, but like one of the moments I knew I actually wanted to marry my wife was when she kept on like discussing like really, really deep, intricate like thoughts about, you know, like the deen with me. I was like, all right, this is kind of special. I was like, the fact that she's bringing this up is pretty real, right? And my wife, by the way, for those of you who don't know, she's a convert to Islam. She converted when she was 18 years old. And my eyes were opened up a lot with, like, you know, this idea that, like, you know, those of us who are born into the religion, sometimes we take it for granted. And so when people who actually accept the faith, like, and make, like, a kind of, like, a turn in their life towards it, it really reminds you of how beautiful these people really are, you know. And that's the moment I was like, wow, mashallah, like, she actually is so invested into this that, like, she wants to make a part of our conversation, like based off of this. And this is something that's really beautiful. That's number one. Number two is that false love lacks commitment and fulfillment of promises. False love lacks commitment and lacks fulfillment of promises, right? That, you know, when you are a person who is trying to seek the meaning of what really healthy love is, every example of healthy love has a level of promise and commitment to it, right? Whether it's whether it's with your family, whether it's with your friends and your social circles, or whether that may be romantically, right? It really warrants this level of commitment. And this is why, by the way, you know, like this whole idea, and I agree that some Muslims unfortunately use the term nikah and marriage as like a kind of like a substitute for like dating, right? Like I just need to get nikah, right? I just need to get married. Like, no. Like, it's not like such like a lighthearted topic. It's actually a very serious thing. And that's why it's a good thing, because it requires you as a human being to actually commit. It requires you as a human being to actually say, you know what, like with the good and with the bad, I'm in it, you know? And this is why, you know, to protect our hearts, because Allah says in the Quran, ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى, I haven't sent you down this Quran, this religion, this deen, to like afflict like stress on you, to put burden on your heart, but it's actually to relieve you a lot of pain that you may have in life. And so one of the main things that, you know, the Prophet ﷺ and Allah, they teach us in this realm is that when you're ready, you actually should talk about this level of commitment, right? And you think about this, right? When you're acquaintances with somebody, it's easy. Right? Y'all ever where you're like wavering on the line between acquaintance and friend? You're like, I don't really know if I want to breach that. I don't know if I'm going to go there. Right? Now I got to answer text messages on time. And like, you know, I got to like actually do stuff, right? Like I can't just be like, oops, sorry, your phone was off. Like you're telling me you're on your phone for like 12 hours straight. You know, like it requires this level of like ownership, you know, like to be called a person's friend, to be called a person's companion. These are not terms that should be so lightly used. There's a great responsibility that comes with this stuff, right? And so love that's healthy, that's good for you, is actually something that warrants some sort of commitment, some sort of responsibility from you. Another point, inshallah, I'll hand it off to Ustadh Fatima after this, is that love that's, you know, wrongly placed or misplaced, I will say, causes a lot of anxiety and stress. Okay? Love that is placed wrongly or love that's misplaced causes a lot of anxiety and stress upon your heart. And that stress and that anxiety comes from different places. That stress comes from, you know, I don't know if I did the right steps. I don't know if I acted out of impulse. I don't know if I can tell people about this. I don't know if I, you know, am doing the right thing, right? And this is why, by the way, there's a, you know, this whole narration that a lot of people know that, you know, between two people that shouldn't be, like, you know, private, the third companion, there's a shaitan. The reason that that narration is actually relevant or true is because when you're in, because when you're in that stage of a relationship, you're actually supposed to have good companions with you to kind of like guide you through it, you know? And it's almost like selfish telling ourselves that, like, oh, you know, like, I don't need anybody's help. I'm good. Right. And this is why, by the way, most people, before they do marriage, like nikah ceremonies or anything like that, they require you to do some sort of premarital counseling. Because you want to have that, like, okay, I did my homework about this. I was guided when it came to this decision, right? It's not just me. And you know, love that's wrongfully placed or that's placed in the wrong place, it's misplaced, brings about a lot of stress for you. A lot of stress for you. I mean, how many of us have had to hide things from people before? I can guarantee you, I mean, I'm not even talking about this topic itself, just hiding things in general, right? Hiding things in general just brings about stress, right? I can't tell somebody about this. Then you have like this awkward, like, you know, relationship where you're like, okay, I can't talk to you about everything now, right? So one of the most obvious forms of good, you know, healthy love in your life is love that you can actually almost like feel good about. There's something to look forward to. It doesn't take a hit on like your career. It doesn't take a hit on your iman. Actually, it enhances it. You know, you have a goal now that you're working towards, and you want this relationship to have barakah in it, right? And barakah, by the way, I'm sure Ustadh Fatima can elaborate on this, is such a big deal when it comes to love, is that you want Allah to put barakah, to put blessing in your relationship. You want Allah to put beauty and expand the goodness in that relationship, right? And that's one of the most, you know, important things that I think of, inshallah. So I'm going to hand it off to Ustadh Fatima to give us a little bit of wisdom from her side as well. And then, inshallah, we can wrap up. I have like really one amazing story to tell about the Prophet that always kind of enhances my kind of, you know, appreciation for love and the ability to actually be able to love through our hearts. We'll reflect on that at the end, inshallah. So Ustadh Fatima, go ahead.
رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي رب ارزقني علما رب ارزقني علما رب ارزقني علما. Before I start, I know this is like not a part of the lecture, but if everybody could just turn around and look at the moon and say like subhanallah, because it is beautiful, okay? It is very beautiful.
There was also a rabbit that crossed by and everyone got distracted.
Trust me, I saw a rabbit. I saw a lot of things that I wasn't promising on. So this particular topic, you know, it can go two ways. I'm going to ask you guys which way you want me to take it. Y'all want me to be real with you, or do you want me to just, you know, say some things to make you feel good? Be real. Okay.
Be real, real.
I was hoping I'm not going to be real, real, because then you can't record. I was hoping you guys would say that you would want me to be real with you. And I say that because there are so many times and so many different things like this topic in our life that people are not real with us about. And then when we fall into it, they're like, oh, how'd you get there? Oh, why did that happen to you? Oh, you know, that's not okay. Oh, you know, why are you doing that? Why are you like this? Why are you like that? Oh, you didn't know that was gonna happen? I could have told you. And you're like, well, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you let me know this is how these situations end up? And what that means is that, one, as Muslims, you know, a lot of us are born Muslim here. Growing up, you've always been taught probably that relationships are haram. The only time you embark on a relationship is between male and female is when you're ready to get married. Half of you, your parents are like, you're not ready to you go to school, get a degree, get a couple of degrees, you know, all these things, right? And then you too may have developed the understanding or through that way of being treated or talked to that, you know what, yeah, that's right. I will never get into a relationship. I will never do this. I will never do that. Get to college, maybe even high school, you find yourself in a whole relationship, you didn't even realize you fell into it. Guess what, it's really real. It happens a lot. And you're sitting down because you don't feel like you can tell anybody what's going on. because you didn't even realize that now you're in a whole committed relationship with somebody that may or may not be Muslim, but may or may not reach the standards of your parents, that may or may not even reach your own standards. You don't even know if this is something that you want to be in. You're very confused. You're very confused. And so one important thing, there are many important things, but one important thing I want to stress today is recognizing that if any of you are in a relationship or thinking about being in a relationship, or you know some girl that you want to be in a relationship with, or some guy that you want to be in a relationship with, you have to be really real with yourself. Ask yourself, why do I want this? What is it about this person that makes me want to be in a relationship with them? Are they going to bring something to the table? Can I bring something to the table? Because that person can be an amazing human being, have things together, you know, be able to take care of you. You can be able, you know, be able to spend time with you, all the things that you want. But you may not even be half of what that person needs. So you have to think about both aspects of it. Am I ready for this? And is this person the right person for me? When we say finding love in the wrong places, a lot of times we end up committing ourselves to people, whether it be friendships or even romantic relationships. We commit ourselves to people to fill voids that are within us. So say, for instance, you're a person who you really, they call it the love language. So your love language is validation or words of affirmation, they say. So you may attach yourself to certain friends. You may attach yourself to a certain person because you're like, this person, you know, they call to me. They speak to my soul. Yeah, they may speak to one side of your soul, but are they speaking to the rest of you? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Sure, they may make you feel good, but do they make you feel, are you a better person when you're around them? Sure, they may call to the parts of you, what we call our nafs, that make us want to be with people, but do they call us to be closer to God? These are questions, real life, hard-heading questions that you have to ask yourself. And to be honest, it starts with your friend group. Because if you're not selective about your friend group, the people that you talk to, the people that you spill all your business to, the people that you tell everything, the people that you seek advice from, what makes you think you're going to be very selective with the person that you want to be involved with romantically? You're just going to find people who are just going to tell you, yes, you're great. You do everything perfect. That's not what you want in your life. You also don't want somebody that's going to bring you down. You want somebody that's balanced, somebody that's going to bring you closer to Allah, somebody that's going to tell you, hey, you are a good person. You are a great person, but you have more that you can work on. Let's get there together. You want somebody that has something that they're going to bring to the table. You want to bring something to the table. You don't want to be a burden. You don't want to be taking care of a burden. These are the real questions you have to sit and talk to yourself about, because at the end of the day, the way that our communities work, and even the way that we work as human beings, we don't necessarily have these conversations with every single person. We don't necessarily open up to people on this type of level. And so when we try to force things or relationships and all these things, and we're not even right ourselves, or we're not even looking for the right things, you're definitely going to get what you're looking for, but it may not be, it's definitely probably not what you need. It's definitely probably not what you need. And for those people who tell you that the way that you fix your life, the way that everything becomes better is for you to get married, they lied. It's a huge lie. It's a big lie. Because if things are going hard, wrong for you in your life, and things are not great, and you don't have things together, and you just want somebody to love you, you're going to go and put that emotional baggage into another human being. You're going to go put that emotional baggage onto another creation of God. And would you like it if somebody just walked into your life and unloaded their entire 20-something years of emotional baggage onto you? Absolutely not. Where you're in love with this person, but they're just very pessimistic. They don't bring anything to the table. They make your life very stressful. And now you're between a rock and a hard place. You don't know which way to walk. You don't know which way to go. You don't want to leave them. You're in love with them. You don't want that. That's not what you want. You want to be with somebody for the first and foremost for the sake of Allah. because you're like, wow, this person, like, we're going places together. Not I'm going, you back there. We're going places together. We're working on each other. We're helping each other get there. Oh, this person's good to their family. This person helps me be better to my family. This person helps me with college. They help me with this. They help me with that. And it may feel like right now is the time, especially because it's COVID and everybody got married in COVID and had a baby in COVID. So, you know what I'm saying? Everybody got cheap weddings. Let's do it. Okay. Woke up. It's like 15 people every day getting married. I'm like, all right, I'll see you. I'll send you a gift in the mail, I guess. You know what I'm saying? It may seem like right now is the time, but if you're not ready, you're not ready. Don't embark on relationships just to fill voids inside of you that you need to fill yourself. If you don't feel loved, it's because you don't love yourself. Sounds harsh. But you got to now work on loving yourself. You have to work on it. What does it mean for Fatima to love Fatima? What does that mean? What does it mean for Fatima to give Fatima the care and respect that she deserves? Because at the end of the day, whether you're in a relationship or not, at some point you will always face your own demons. You will always see yourself. You will always face your own demons. And if you don't fill those voids, if you don't fill them yourself, guess what? You're going to project that negative energy onto your spouse. And you're going to keep seeking validation. You're going to keep seeking these things. And God forbid you fall into a relationship that's horrible, that someone takes advantage of you. And you stay because you feel like this is the only person that loves me. You don't know how many people in the community that we come across. And we think to ourselves, if only someone just told them that they just had to love themselves and God loves them, that they wouldn't be in the situation that they're in. You know how many people we come across that say that I was in this relationship or that relationship for 15 years, 20 years. Like, these are like lifetimes, okay? These are lifetimes. And I didn't realize to the end of the relationship that I was being abused, that I was being treated badly. Or even that I was the one who was treating someone else badly. That I was the one who was not taking care of that person like they deserve to be taken care of. Relationships have responsibility. They're fun. I'm talking about friendships too. They're fun. They're great. You talk to your friends, all this stuff. But they have responsibility. There's a sense of responsibility. This is a whole other human being that you've invited into your life. That's responsibility. It is not to scare you, it's to bring the reality of the situation there. So you should not be embarking on relationships just to fulfill parts of you and not even taking the other person into consideration. Because one, if you come across a really good person, you're taking advantage of them. And two, if you come across a really bad person, they're taking advantage of you. Either way, no one wins in the situation. It's so important that in this stage of your life, and I would say this to a group of young professionals if they were here, I would say this to my own siblings, I'll say this to my cousins, I'll say this to anybody. It is so important for you to take out time to get to know yourself. Who am I and why am I that person? Who am I, what do I like? What do I dislike? Who do I like, who do I dislike? Personalities, talking about these things. What are the qualities that God has given me? How is it that, you know, why is it that I do what I do? Why do I say what I say? Why do I interact with the people that I interact with? You're not like sitting down interrogating yourself like and getting stressed out. No, you're just reflecting, you know what I'm saying? You sit down at the end of your day and you just think about your day a little bit. One, it teaches you to be very grateful because you will notice things about your day that you may have went through the whole day thinking today was a trash day, a straight up trash. And you sit down, reflect, you're like, okay, actually something did happen. Teaches you to be very grateful. And it also teaches you to be very mindful in a world that doesn't want you to be mindful. That you have so many things that distract you. How many times try to sit down and do something and you pick up your phone to do it and then you forgot what you were trying to do and the next thing you know is like 3 hours and you're on Twitter and you kind of ended up on Instagram And then now it's time to go to bed. Yeah. It happens a couple times a day. You know what I'm saying? In the world that doesn't want you to be mindful, it's so important for you to work on being more mindful of yourself. And the last thing that I'm going to end with that Ustaz Safi brought up was that he talked about how the Prophet said that a person does not truly believe until they love the Prophet more than they love themselves. And the Prophet even added and said that more than you love your own mother, more than you love your own mother. And I find that narration to be incredible because Umar ibn Khattab went through a situation with the Prophet where he said, you know what, I love you a lot, but I don't love you more than I love myself. And the Prophet was like, well, guess you got to work on it. Then Umar ibn Khattab goes away, he comes back, and then he says, okay, now I do. And for him, he was in the company of the Prophet, you know what I'm saying? So for him, he went back, he did some reflection, he thought about it, he thought about what that meant, and then he came back, he was like, okay, actually, this is true. And he wasn't the type to lie. Umar ibn Khattab wasn't like a feelings type of person. He wasn't saying something to make somebody feel good. Like, that was definitely never a part of his personality in the least bit. Sometimes when I think about this narration and I think about the love that we're supposed to have for Allah and the love we're supposed to have for his messenger, I wish people would have told me that you have to get to know people before you can love them. Because sometimes you sit down and you're like, well, man, I love God, but I don't really know if I love him that much. And then you feel bad. You feel bad because you're like, I should. You know what I'm saying? How can you love someone that you don't know? How can you love them that you don't know? And by knowing, I mean, like, sometimes we have love for celebrities, but we spend all day looking at their Instagram. So we feel like we have a sense of connection to them, right? You got to spend some time getting to know who your Lord is. You have to spend some time getting to know who Allah is. And you have to spend a lot of time, too, getting to know who the Prophet ﷺ is. Because me, personally, I'm not the type of person that cries during lectures and stuff. Like, that's just not me. You know, when they talk about that person that, like, doesn't cry in salah, like, I used to think that I was, like, that person. I'm, like, sitting in the congregation. They're like, if your eyes are not crying in salah, there's something wrong with your heart. And I'll turn to my mom and be like, well, you got this one. And she's like, shut up, stupid girl. I'm like, I just want you to know, like, I don't cry in prayer. It's very difficult. And I remember the first time that I was like listening to a lecture. And it had been a 10-day course on the whole life of the Prophet called Seerah Intensive. And, you know, I wasn't actually a part of Seerah Intensive properly because I was actually working. So I'll be in and out of the classes or whatever. But I sat down for 10 days and went through the life with Sheikh Nasser of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And I remember on the last day, he talks about the death of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And I was sitting down listening to this, okay? I'm sitting down listening, and I felt something wet on my face, like right there. And I was like, what is happening? Okay? And part of me got shocked that he died. Not that I didn't know that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam died, but so many times you hear the stories of his life in bits and pieces, so you don't really, you know, connect everything. So I just spent 10 days, about 10 hours a day, listening to his life. And now I'm here, and it's the last day, and Sheikh Nasser's talking about the death of the Prophet, and I'm like, why y'all didn't tell me he dies? Like, why the ending gotta be like this? Like, and you know, like, I'm really, like, heartbroken about the situation. And then I'm creeped out by myself because I don't cry normally. I cry about dumb things like my brother's eating my tacos and like my ice cream and like stuff like that. You know, those are the dumb things I cry about. So like there's this like situation, this really real situation that usually like when really real things happen, I get really awkward and start laughing and I'm like actually crying. So I'm like really freaked out about this. And so afterwards, I was turned to my friends, and I was like, you know, this was really real. Like, they're like, yeah, Fatima, he dies. I'm like, thanks for letting me know. But I realized that I never knew the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam until that day. As many books as I read, as many narrations as I read, I was a student. As many times as I listened to lectures, which was not that much because I'm not a huge lecture person, I didn't know the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam until those 10 days. The second time I ever cried in Salah was like, it was like, I felt like I was pushed against the corner. Like, I didn't know where I was going with my life. I didn't know what I was doing with my life. I didn't know what God had in store for me. I didn't know if God had anything in store for me. I'm like, am I going to become a bum? Like, what is happening? What is happening with my life? And I'm just praying. And I turn to Allah and I'm like, listen, God, nobody can help me. I can't help myself. So you have to help me. And I'm crying. And then I got freaked out again because I'm like, that's really weird. Why'd you start crying? But then I realized that there's been so many times in my life that I have not known God and I have not known his messenger. And that when you spend time learning Allah, learning about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and learning about his messenger, that it pushes you to want to be a better person. It pushes you to want to be a better person. And you start to fill those voids inside of you. You start to fill them. And you start to work on yourself and be better. And you know what that's going to attract? That's going to attract the best relationships in your life. That when I made it a point to become a better person, it was not easy. Everything that I could ever be tempted for just came silver platter right in my face. But you know what God blessed me with? The most amazing friends I could ever ask for. The most amazing family I can ever ask for. As annoying as my siblings are, they're great. And so you attract good when you want good for yourself. But you have to want good for yourself. So I'm going to go ahead and stop here and pass it on to Ustad Safi. But I really am making dua for all of you guys because this topic is something that's really real. And I hope that you guys never experience a situation or a relationship where somebody takes advantage of you. That is my dua for every single one of you guys here.
Inshallah, I'm going to turn off the Instagram and Facebook live streams now just because... wanted to obviously have a little bit of, you know, priority for the people who are here in person.